Thank you for joining me as we continue to learn that God is our rest. I hope you enjoyed the holiday yesterday and that you are living by the grace of God as we get back into our regular routines today. We're in the Gospel according to Mark chapter 6. This is a fascinating chapter in the life of Christ and his disciples. And at this stage in the true story, Jesus is sending these 12 followers of his into the region of Galilee to take what they have learned from him and to practice it. Jesus is the teacher and they are the students. They're learners, just like those of us today who serve Jesus as Lord. We've learned a lot already, and what I'm doing now is to give you some insights from the instructions Jesus gives these men in verses 7 through 13 of Mark 6. And remember, I'm giving this proper application to how we can all protect against getting worn out as we do ministry in our context this very week. Ministry is for all believers, right? All Christians are to serve our King Jesus in one way or another through multiple spiritual gifts that each one of us has been given. I do not know what your ministry is, but if you're a Christ follower, he definitely wants you to have one, and he has gifted you uniquely for it. Well, thus far, we have seen three instructions that, when understood, can help us to stay well rested. First, Jesus sent the disciples out in pairs. That's in Mark 6 and verse 7. Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs. Second, Jesus tells them to take a walking stick. That's in Mark 6 and verse 8, and he instructed them that they should take nothing for their journey except a mere staff. And third, Jesus tells the disciples what to put on their feet. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 9, Jesus says, "Wear sandals." Well, maybe you're just tuning in today and you're wondering, what in the world? Going out in pairs, walking sticks, and sandals. What does that have to do with God being our rest? Or what does that have to do with how we protect ourselves from weariness? Well, friends, that's why you've got to get over to the WEZ website and download any missed broadcasts. They're all there as a God Is podcast free of charge. Just go to 590amtheword.com and click podcast at the top of the homepage. God Is will be there waiting for you, and there's much of practical value to learn from Mark 6. That's right. According to Jesus, going out in pairs, walking sticks and sandals have a lot to do with how we can enjoy God's rest. Please do get caught up later today. With that as an introduction and a bit of review, we are set to dig in where we left off yesterday. Let's move down to verses 10 and 11 of Mark chapter 6. And in these verses, Jesus addresses an element of the disciples' emotional health and well-being. Let me read Mark 6 verses 10 and 11. And Jesus said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave town. Any place that does not receive you or listen to you, as you go out from there, shake the dust off the soles of your feet for a testimony against them." Thus far in our series, God is Our Rest, Jesus has been teaching us about spiritual rest and, of course, physical rest. But what about emotional rest? We are complex people with many layers. Jesus knows this about us because he created us. If you know anything at all about these 12 men Jesus chose to follow him, you know they're a very complicated bunch. These men are all emotional beings, and how they respond to Jesus and to having ministry in Jesus' name tells us all about their emotional health. And certainly, if you have gotten busy serving God in your church, in your family, and in your community, then you know from personal experience that service wears on your emotional health. This is particularly true if you are an emotionally unhealthy person to begin with. Well, here Jesus addresses the disciples' emotions. There are two elements in Jesus' instructions. First, choose carefully where you stay when you enter one of these towns. I'll rephrase it this way. Find a safe place where you can spend the night, a base of operations in which you can debrief the day's ministry and help each other through difficulties and around obstacles you may encounter. Second, this is wisdom for what to do when no one will listen to you and you encounter rejection. Remember what I told you earlier this week. Rejection creates tiredness. Well, within these two words from Jesus comes instruction for us as well. And let me take these two elements then in order. The disciples were directed to choose carefully where they stayed when they entered one of these towns. This was to be their base of operation, and the home would provide to them a place of rest. They could get behind closed doors, lie down and enjoy a meal, and have something to drink to relieve their thirst. This would have been restorative to them. And they could also talk with one another about the days and nights of ministry. I imagine them talking about their disappointments and frustrations. I could see one disciple saying to the other, "When Jesus does this, he does it perfectly, every time. Why can't we?" Or, "Hopefully when we get back together with Jesus, we can ask him how we can get better at ministering to the people like he does." In this home they had carefully chosen, they would have talked to one another, listened to one another, and certainly prayed for one another. That must have boosted their emotional health. And this is what we need today. How many of you are struggling because you're filled up to overflowing with emotions that you feel you can't really share with anyone? Or you wonder, who cares about me? Who would even listen? This is what I'm encountering as I follow Christ and do what he's given me to do, but does anyone care? And so what do you do with your anger, your hurt, your passion, and your despair? If you keep it bottled up and you suppress these emotions on the inside, they will destroy your health. If you let them boil and explode, falling out all over the place, they can destroy your relational health. Broken relationships can be the result. I've seen this repeatedly among Christian people in churches. Either folks will keep their true feelings hidden from others and burn out, or their true feelings are communicated in a way that makes everyone else feel very uncomfortable. What you need is a safe place, to choose the right home, as it were, and to find a host that will love you and care for you, to find a Christian person that will listen to you, pray for you, affirm you, and yet also teach you ways to manage your emotions. This person will help direct you and channel your emotions so that Christ can transform them before they destroy you, and/or before you destroy others with your runaway emotions, your out-of-control emotions. What is your ministry environment like? Is it a place of security, joy, and peace? Some of the sweetest times in my life have been spent in someone's home, letting my hair down after a long day of ministry, a day of meeting other people's needs. Slip into a pair of well-worn jeans and a t-shirt, make a fresh pot of coffee or brew a tea, and kick back and relax on a comfy couch, as together with my friends we discuss how all this ministry is making us feel. We're being honest, real, no pretenses, and we're listening. Really listening to what others are going through. And then we can gather around and pray for one another right there in someone's living room. Have you opened up your apartment for this purpose? Some of you living outside the city, do you have a backyard and do you use it to create a safe place for other Christians engaged in a lot of ministry to other people? For them to just come over and process what their emotions are over a meal? This is a great way to use the home and the land God has blessed you with. And you do not need to be a trained psychologist. Just ask questions, then listen, and listen some more. Jesus knew the 12 needed this. Remember, rejection creates tiredness. And Jesus knows you need it. I certainly need it. Jesus told the disciples, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave town." Who were the people who owned these homes and welcomed the disciples to stay there? Were the homeowners always believers in Christ themselves? I doubt it. And yet, without even knowing it on certain occasions, they were pulled into service for God by allowing these men to stay with them. Isn't it sad, but true, that sometimes we find people who are not Christians to be even more gracious and generous with us and hospitable to us than other Christians can be? Look, as far as emotional health is concerned, it's so important that you should get it wherever and whenever you can. Here is an example from my own life that hopefully will help you understand what I mean. As you know, I travel quite a bit. I've stayed in many hotels through the years. Now, often while traveling, I'll book a bed and breakfast instead, wanting to avoid the cold and distant hotel service, in favor of the warmth that is often felt at a B&B. On these occasions, I have regularly come down to breakfast and sat for longer than expected talking with the owners, who have also cooked some of the most incredible food I've ever tasted. And I've talked with other guests around that breakfast table about life. Usually those folks are not yet Christians, but they're lovely to talk with. You know what? I have found this emotionally very healing. Why? It's therapeutic because I'm being listened to. I'm being asked great questions, and more often than not, when I talk about my ministry, folks will keep listening. Likewise, I'm asking them about their lives, their children and grandchildren, their work, and as they tell me some of the most incredible things, my heart swells with an appreciation for them as a fellow human being. Unintentionally, we are helping one another to process our emotions. Well, if that is true, staying overnight in the home of strangers, many of whom are not even following our Lord, then how much more should that be true of the Christian home? Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave town. That one sentence from Jesus speaks to finding an element of the rest that we so desperately need. It's really addressing this issue of emotional rest and well-being. And I hope that you, in your church, are providing your home as an atmosphere, as an environment of emotional rest to other people, both within the church and outside of the church. And tomorrow, we're going to come to the next verse as we continue to talk about Jesus' emphasis on emotional health. So if you would, join me again tomorrow for God is...